maybe again?
Yes, again from Rabash, excerpt number 28. The root of the work to the, of the lower one is the will to receive and the prayer, called the man. It rises up, and then the upper one corrects this man and places on it the power of the masach, which is a desire to delay the abundance prior to the lower one knowing on him own, himself that this is the aim, which is to bestow. That is, the upper one bestows upon the lower one good taste and pleasure in the desire to bestow, by which the lower one feels his exaltedness. At that time, he begins to understand that it is worthwhile to annul before him and cancel his existence before himself, before him. Then he feels that all that there is in reality is only because such is his will, that the Creator wants the lower one to exist, but for himself, he wants to annul his existence. It follows that then all the vitality that he feels is regarded as lishma and not for himself. And when he feels this, it is considered that he already has the correction of the man, and then he is also fit to receive the mud as well. For there is no contradiction between them anymore, since the lower one too wants the benefit of the upper one and not his own benefit.
Okay, I see that we don't have any questions besides Kiev. Well, let's go to Kiev.
Yes, dear Rav, what is it that the screen, what is the masach, the screen? What does it mean to not want to receive the abundance?
Ekran, masach.
Ekran, screen, masach. It is the decision of the lower one that he will not receive anything for his own sake, but rather his whole existence will be only in order to bestow through others to the Creator, or in order to bring the others closer to the Creator, because to the Creator himself there is no way to bestow. We cannot relate to the Creator. As it says, if you are righteous, what will you give him? There is nothing to give him. We can give him only a place, a desire for him to fill up. And what can be done about that? That is to bring people closer to the Creator. This means to give contentment to the Creator, really. And there is no other action. And therefore, when we disseminate, let's say we expand our groups, this actually is the only action, you might say, that we, by which we can give contentment to the Creator. In action, in practice, this is how it works out.
Here he writes that the lower one wants to cancel his existence and for it only to be lishma. How is that even possible?
The lower one, that is man, feels that his whole existence is in the will to receive, and therefore he wants to get rid of it. And to get rid of it means to stop existing. So much so, he hates his will to receive and doesn't want to accept it. As it says, I'm better off dead. And with that, he turns to the Creator and he asks for correction. For own reason.
But it's written here that the upper one prepares for the desire everything to the degree in which the lower one is ready for it. He prepares the infrastructure, and then I need to operate there.
Well, we will advance and then you will see how it is done and then we will talk about it. You think that you will be able to work with your own mind and sort out the will to receive and decide that I'm doing this and that and in which form? Nope. Everything is done only through annulment towards the upper one. And not in that you decide and you weigh things and you do things, but only through annulment towards the upper one, increasing annulment more and more. You will learn that along the way. It's impossible to explain it. But you should just know that with our own mind, we can hardly do anything. Our mind only helps the emotion a little bit.
Rav, from this excerpt, it looks like it turns out that the moment a person builds alone, the man is given to a person egotistically for his asking for it.
If it is an egoistic request, it's not called man because it doesn't rise up and it doesn't make any impression, there's no action in the Creator. But rather, man is called Mei Nukvin, water of the female. And Nukva, female, means weak, a will to receive that is asking for a screen. It's asking for understanding, feeling, help. This is all called man.
It says in the article, the upper one corrects this man. What is meant by correcting this man? So what is actually corrected here?
The lower one raises a request, and that request is still not fit for the upper one to take care of it. And the upper one then corrects this request, so it will truly be in such a form that it is possible to answer it from above. It should be in order to bestow in the right form, and then he gets an answer. It's like a baby that somehow speaks in such a form that only its mother understands it. And she understands and she answers and he feels that he has some connection with the mother, but in truth, this connection is only because she wants to understand him. And it's not that he is raising his request in the right form. And this is how it is also with us. There are many kinds of man, the first man and the second man, etc. As we correct ourselves more and more until we reach an answer. That we understand the upper one and the upper one understands us. It's clear? Okay. Well, Be'er Sheva.
Good morning, World 10. With your permission, Rav. There's a matter of communications from the upper where the lower one doesn't understand and is not in this area. He has no understanding towards the upper one. Relative to the upper one, that's correcting the man and giving what is suitable for the lower one. What is this mechanism that's operating here in this way?
Well, the lower one very, very much wants to bestow to the upper one, wants to connect with him, is ready to connect with the friends, and by that he builds the infrastructure for a connection with the upper one. And then the upper one is ready to help the lower one and to arrange this request for him as well. That's it. We need as much as possible, as much as we get the possibility from above, to organize our connection with the upper one. That is, to show the upper one how much we depend on him. We're in adhesion with him, like a baby with the mother. And therefore, because there is a connection between them, then the mother helps the baby with everything. She does everything for him. And this is how we need to do it. The connection to us from the upper one, as from the mother to the baby, exists. However, the connection from us to the upper one, to the mother, like to the mother, it is still non-existent. It is not felt in us. And this is what we need to develop. And we develop it through the group. To the extent that you are not connected to the friends, to that extent you are not connected with the Creator. You remember what Rabash writes about the friends, that the flat ground does not separate between us, and I feel that they are standing within my heart, etc. How he writes in this letter. This is how it is. This is the vessel for our connection with the upper one, and the vessel by which to raise man, a deficiency, because the deficiency should be only about the connection between us. The upper one is ready for all of these connections. However, it's only the connection between us that is missing in order for us to receive from him all of the corrections and the fulfillments.
Can we define that kind of form of connection as a one-directional connection, only from the upper to lower at this stage?
Well, that is always there. That always exists. However, this connection is not a connection that develops, because we are in a state in relation to him where only according to us raising a deficiency to him, the upper one performs all kinds of actions on us. He develops us.
Раф, вчера казахте, че има на какво да се научим относно това как да формираме ман. Кажете повече, как...
Yesterday you said that we need to learn how to build, how to raise man. If you can tell us more, how to build this man.
Usually we get the deficiencies from the environment. As much as we want to connect with the environment, we get an illumination from above, and it is what builds in us the deficiency to connect with.
Нижний ненавидит свое желание получать, и поэтому...
The lower one hates his will to receive, and therefore he wants to cancel himself before the upper one, or is it the same, that's the reason that he wants to cancel his existence?
That is not correct, the question itself. It's not that I can't stand, I hate my will to receive. I hate it in that it is separating between me and the Creator. And it's not the will to receive in its on its own, but rather the fact that it is in order to receive. And here I need to sort precisely what is my desire and to what extent it is necessary, essential on the one hand, and to the extent to which it requires correction on the other hand. Then it will be more clear to me.
Rabash writes in the middle of the paragraph that he wants to nullify his reality, and it turns out that all his existence that he feels at the expense of Lishma and not his own. What is that feeling?
How can I convey to you this feeling? Well, it's impossible to convey a feeling. Explain to me the taste. A feeling is a taste. Explain to me the taste of some food, some drink. You cannot. You can say, it is like that. So somehow, I will depict this to myself, what it's like. But directly to convey tastes, that is impossible. This is what we do. We build the vessels, which we do not have, in order to feel the Creator. to discover him. Because the revelation of the Creator to the created being is actually our whole topic. That there is no other force besides him that is filling up the whole of the universe, the entire reality, and we want to discover this force. It is everywhere, in each and everything, but we do not feel it. We feel something that our own nature is establishing for us, which is entirely the opposite. Not even the opposite, it is entirely not the Creator. This is called an imaginary world. What our nature is depicting to us, giving us this imagination. And our whole work is to cancel our own false senses and gradually, instead of them, to reach the five true senses in which we will feel both the space, the place, and also what exists in that place, the upper light.
Who's here that it's at the expense of Lishma? Not at his expense, but at the expense of Lishma. What does it mean there?
Regarded as Lishma means that I don't want to perform any action in my own direction, but rather only for the benefit of the Creator, only outside of myself. Through such efforts, I acquire his nature to bestow. And then I start to feel what truly exists outside of me. Because as it is, I only feel myself. When I feel myself, I feel this world. Everything that I feel in this world, these infinite distances, the whole universe and everything, it is all in all my world. It is all what I discover inside of my desire for myself. And in that, there is nothing that is true. When I begin to discover in order to bestow, I begin to discover a different world, a different reality, a different force that is operating there and there.
Rav, is it necessary to be able to name a deficiency to effectively turn to the Creator for correction? Or is it enough to just feel the deficiency and turn to the Creator with that feeling of deficiency that can't seem to be named at the time?
Turn all the time. It doesn't matter with which deficiency, and it doesn't matter precisely to whom you are turning, as much as you can. Try to be precise in quantity and quality and in the direction of your deficiency, activate it. And gradually, out of your efforts, bit by bit, you'll start to discover more and more connection with him. That's how it is. Don't spare it. But you don't understand, you do understand. It is possible, it's impossible. Like a baby, like any little child, cry, demand at every opportunity.
Again, Rabash, letter number 64. Once he has been rewarded with the Torah, he must extend faith once more. Because a person must serve the Creator, not in order to receive reward. And once he has been awarded the Torah, he can say that now he sees that it is worthwhile to serve the Creator, because he has the Torah, which is, as it is written, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. It follows that he is blemishing the faith, which is above the intellect, where he does not see for himself any existence. and only his work in faith to annul reality. This is the meaning of with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That is, he wants nothing for himself, and his only desire is to annul his existence completely. Therefore, once rewarded with the Torah, a person must renew the faith once more, which is called the manner of Da'at and the manner of Dvikut, adhesion above the intellect.
Well, this is a bit hard, this excerpt. Well, if anybody wants to ask, but what does he really want to tell us? That we need, what we have to attain is, we're going to attain together with you in the emotion and in the intellect, entirely new discernments that we didn't have so far, and we have no access, no approach to them. No access, but rather truly the upper light has to create within us, to establish within us this new approach to reality. And this reality will also be new, of course. And this whole reality that we attain it through two forces, the force of faith and the force of the Torah. The force of faith is the light of Chasadim, the force of the Torah is the light of Chokhmah. When these clothe in those, and this is how we attain the upper reality. And all of this is possible only on the condition that we aim ourselves to, in order to bestow. This is the force of Binah, the force of faith. And then inside of this force of faith, close the reality, the reality that we feel, the spiritual reality that to which we discover through annulment, connection, concern, the Creator actually created it artificially. This is how it seems to us, and therefore Olam, world, is from the word He'elem, Hester, concealment. And as much as we relate to the world in a way that we want to bestow to it, by that we are inviting, drawing that same quality from the Creator so that He will bestow to the world, that is, to us. And then in that world, in that area, we meet and we reach adhesion with the Creator. Because it is unrelated to spirituality. It was given to us for the time being, this kind of a feeling that we are living in a corporeal world, in a corporeal body, with the still vegetative, animate, and speaking, in order for us to begin to develop our senses. But in truth, it is all called an imaginary world. And when we begin to develop relations to this imaginary world, gradually through it, we get bestowed influence from above, and then we begin to think, to feel, to detect all kinds of phenomena that do not usually exist in our senses in this world, but rather we can already somehow depict to ourselves what does spirituality mean? What does, in order to bestow, mean? Because that is the primary thing. Our whole world is operating according to the law of reception, and the whole upper spiritual world operates according to the law of bestow. And these two worlds do not meet as if. Even though the upper world fills everything, the force of bestowal, however, the force of reception can feel only whatever exists inside of its corporeal realm. And therefore, it doesn't hinder and it doesn't be. Belong to the upper world. All of our work is how do we reach the feeling of the upper world, which is by developing within us the force of bestowal. And here we have a problem that it is against our force of reception. And these two worlds exist in contrast to each other. And therefore, each one shall help his friend. It's through the study, drawing the reforming light, whatever we need in order to gradually acquire the vessels of bestowal, desires to bestow, intentions, more correctly. It's intentions to bestow. And For this we should be grateful to the Creator that He created for us this world and a society in which we can practice and perform exercises such that through them we more and more and more draw light from above, the upper light, even though we still exist in order to receive. However, we can try to perform actions in order to bestow, and this also builds in us this quality of in order to bestow. And this is how we gradually begin to feel that there is such a thing in order to bestow. It's not inside of us. We are opposite it. We don't want it. This quality of bestowal, love, concern for others, instead of concern for oneself. However, we nevertheless get such discernments. And gradually, out of that, we get closer to these things. And the light works in the meantime, another lesson, another meeting. And this is how we suddenly begin to want it. I actually want these things out of envy, lust, and honor that bring a person out of this world. So I begin to want it. Everyone is doing it. How come I'm not? And then we begin to ask. And then we begin to learn how to ask correctly, which is called raising man. That indeed the deficiency towards bestowal, the deficiency towards connection and love, this is what we want. We want, not precisely in order to bestow, but nevertheless, what is called from Lolishma, we come to Lishma. As much as we annul ourselves in the connection between us, as much as out of the connection between us, we ask, there is in that already some element of annulment. And then according to how much we annul ourselves towards each other, to that extent, we annul ourselves towards the Creator. And then we are in some small percentage of equivalence of form with Him. And then He is able to bestow to us. And He helps us to rise above our will to receive. And to reach the quality of bestowal. And then in the quality of bestowal, we begin to feel a sense, as we call them, and then we fall again to our will to receive, which is considered a descent. This way, ascents and descents, all kinds of changes in states, and we actualize them, and therefore, each and every time, even though you don't feel it, but each and every lesson when we meet, It is a great charge. It's like you are filling up batteries, charging the batteries, and this is how you advance. Sometimes by charging them, I might feel myself as worse. This is called the recognition of evil. That too is a new revelation. Sometimes I feel that by that I'm actually ascending, and this is seemingly called good, but there is no bad or good, but rather these are two forms of the same spiritual reality. And this is what we're getting close to.
Good morning, Rav. I couldn't understand one sentence. What does it mean? A person must renew the faith, which is called Da'at and the Wekut above the intellect.
A person needs each time to renew his inclination towards bestowal, towards love of others, towards leaning towards the Creator. Altogether, the Creator, we say that the Creator is everything. He is the inclusive. You probably heard this from me more than once. Why is he called everything that includes everything? Because as much as we care for the general correction of reality, that is how we care for the Creator, who is he is the source of all of reality. He is the place of all of reality, and not the reality is his place. That's the way we relate to humanity, to reality, such that through this we come to his essence, which is the Creator. Him we call, it we call the Creator. Bore.
I couldn't understand what is the function of that in this mechanism.
The function of what?
Da'at, knowledge.
Da'at is that which connects Chochmah and Binah and builds in us the feeling of reality with the understanding of reality. That's called Da'at.
Okay, thank you.
Rav, I wanted to ask about what you said, that every lesson is a spiritual charge. You said that every lesson you're giving us a spiritual portion, it's special and it's unique, different. What does it mean that we as a 10 absorb this charge? How do you want the 10 to receive it, and how do we know if we receive that or not? What exactly is this process of getting the spiritual charge?
You need to connect before the lesson together, and for that we have the preparation. Let's say for 15 minutes. And we, in this connection between us, need to try together to receive the lesson. Meaning what the teacher, what teaches us, and mostly it is Rabash and even Baal HaSulam, what they are trying to give us for connection, not for each and every person, but for the connection. What we receive from the connection between us, how we advance from lesson to lesson in an increasing connection between us with a changing feeling in it. This is very important for us to move from I to we. And by this, we will begin to feel more that the Creator is there, that that's where the attitude of the Creator towards us exists.
So there is this process of preparation before the lesson, there is the lesson itself. We get this portion, and then following the lesson the entire day, how do we work with this charge throughout the day? What does it mean to work with this charge throughout the day?
That what I received in the lesson throughout the day, I want to scrutinize. I connect to my friends. We talk, we learn, we read all kinds of verses, all kinds of things, at least a couple of times a day. That's how we do this. And this renews for me and brings me back to that same direction. And I scrutinize these things. And it has nothing to do with, it's not so relative to the intellect. Mostly it's a feeling. And the more I can feel these things, then I can understand. It has to move through our feelings first. Because it's not the wise that learns. That's how it's written, and it's what's right.
Excerpt 30, Bala Sulam. If you wish to cleanse the sins of you, you should engage in annulment of self-importance instead of mortifications, meaning to feel that you are the lowest and the worst of all the people in the world. It requires much learning and education to understand this. And each time, you should test yourself to see if you're not fooling and deceiving yourself. It also helps to lower yourself before your friend in practice. However, you should be mindful that you lower yourself only before the right people. So, if you wish to engage in it in practice, you can annul yourself before our group, and not before strangers, God forbid. However, you must know for certain that you are the worst and the lowest of all the people in the world, and this is the truth.
This is the truth. It's not too bad. It's good that a person feels this way because each discovers his shattering. And that's why there is in no person in the world the same shattering like in him. And therefore he truly is worse than everyone as far as that's concerned. So anyone who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than him, and then the greater shattering in him. And then there's plenty to add here. But the main thing is that nullifying himself and not entering into mortifications, as he said, if you want to purify these sins from yourself, cleanse them, then we should engage in an annulment so that you'll feel that you're the lowest from all and worst of all the people in the world. And it requires much learning and education to understand this. And each time he should test yourself to see if you are not fooling and deceiving yourself. And it's also helpful to lower yourself before your friends in practice. However, you should be mindful you don't lower yourself only before those right people. And if he wants to do this in practice, then he'll be able to nullify himself before the friends, the group, and not before strangers. But he should know with certainty that he is the worst and the lowest of all the people in the world, since this is the truth. So we have nothing to be afraid about or to be ashamed of in front of each other. We are all in a state, this state, and the more we grow, this is how we will feel ourselves as smaller. And the wiser we become, we will discover ourselves as more foolish. And it will always be like that. This against that. And that's why we need to stabilize ourselves correctly in the balance between good and evil, in the same scale between truth and false. As the main thing is for us to arrange such a state between us all, then we're like on this flying saucer, and then we fly towards the crater.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're continuing to excerpt 31.
שאדם מבטל את עצמו לשני, אינו דווקא.
When a person annuls himself before the other, it's not necessarily in external annulment, but also internally. Externality means that which is revealed on the outside, which is regarded as revealed, which is visible to everyone, that he does not consider himself as anything, but that he regards his friend as being at a higher degree than his own. This is shown by the things he does before his friend. But there is also internality called hidden. These are the thought and the mind which he must also annul before his friend. This is the meaning of, my soul shall be as dust to all. Excerpt 32. A student should be in true annulment before the teacher, in the full sense of the word, for then he unites with him and he can perform salvations in his favor.
Well, a student and his teacher, the truth is it could be each towards his friend, once this way and once that way. It's not a matter of one is the teacher, so he is high and whoever's the student is low. But rather, each needs to be in nullification, like he says. Always a student before his teacher needs to be in true annulment. This is how it should always be towards others. And my soul shall be as dust to all, yes? In every possible way. Because then he unites with him and can operate for him. Because then the Creator can enter into this annulment as much as he nullifies himself, and there corrects him and sorts him, arranges him correctly in a higher degree in the system. So to the extent in which he shows himself as lower, he becomes higher in the system. And this is how we advance from both sides.
Good morning, Rav. A question by Rav from Rav Adim. He's asking, it seems that annulment is the opposite or in contrast of a prayer. What prayer can one who nullifies himself can have?
No, the fact that I annul, I don't erase myself from reality. I nullify my ego. I don't want to be critical towards all of reality. But I remain. It's not that I'm erasing myself and I don't exist whatsoever. Annulment is the canceling of the intention in order to receive. Towards it, we work. Because the desire to receive itself is not good or bad. It's the matter of creation. But the intention in order to receive, that is what we need to nullify. And we talk about that. Usually we say the desire to receive, and it's not correct. It's the in order to receive. Meaning that we don't need to cancel the desire. You also can't cancel the desire. That's the whole matter of creation. That's the whole of creation. But all in all, what needs to happen here is the intention for the benefit of oneself in place of the intention of others for the basis.
Going back to 33. From the Zohar. Happy is he who diminishes himself in this world. How great and superior he is in the internal world. One who is small in this world is great in the eternal world. And one who is great in this world is small in the eternal world. The Creator makes great only one who diminishes himself, and he diminishes only one who makes himself great. Happy is one who diminishes himself in this world. How great is he in the eternal world?
Yes, meaning it's clear that because we are from our desire to receive, so to the extent to which we diminish it, we can be closer to the Creator.
New York 4.
Rav, I can understand why I have to see myself as smaller than the friends, but I don't understand why I have to see myself as the lowest of the whole world. I understand the purpose of before the friends, but what's the purpose of before the whole world?
Because in such a way you see the truth. Or you don't see, but you seemingly are being like an example or a simulation of the truth. Because look, you're broken, you're shattered. You have no attainment in spirituality, no spiritual degree in order to bestow. You are completely in this world, in the desire to receive. Now, to the extent in which you are in the attainment of your desire to receive, a little, even in such a way that you don't suffer from this too much. Yes? And therefore, even in this world, you have no attainment, no true attainment, no true emotional attainment. And to the extent in which you imagine yourself as being truly in a worse possible state than everyone else, then at least in potential, not in the true feeling, but potentially, you will depict yourself the true state. A true state. And that's how it is with each and every one. It's not one at the expense of the other or bothering in some way. No? In spirituality, there's no one at the expense of the other. Where if I'm the worst, then already the others can't be that bad like me either, but less. No. It's all.
Thank you, Rav. My friend is asking, while trying to annul before my friends, I am more proud of myself inside. What does it mean to diminish myself in this situation?
I really, according to the forces, the qualities that are in me, I am the worst of them all. I am the worst of all. And what gives me the ability to exist altogether is because the Creator is sustaining me. Meaning that in my entire life, in all of my essence, I have nothing of myself at my own expense, but rather only that I'm being held this way from above on a string, and that's why I exist. And therefore, I cannot say that I have something in me. But with that, from that feeling of dependency of the upper force that holds me on that string, from that I actually can come to the recognition of my greatness so that I will be able to be connected to Him, to bestow to Him, to be beloved upon Him, and so on. And to develop this way. It's worthwhile to do this.
It doesn't humanity learn from history?
Humanity can't learn from history because it can't learn only from the will to receive, which is suffering. The will to receive, however wise it may be, that seems to you that it's wise. And, you know, we see that there are wise people and scientists and psychologists. They can't do anything. They can't do anything with human beings. Human beings don't learn from the past. They don't learn. They can again and again enter wars. You see what's happening now also. And it's just another way around in the ways of the world, as Baal Sulam says, until we reach a third world war, and if that's not enough, and even a fourth world war. Yes. Nonetheless, all these forces ultimately will obligate us to reach connection between us, because through the path of suffering, we will reach recognition of evil, of our nature, that we have no choice. We're ready for anything, just not to hear anymore what we have in our heart and our mind. Because both these sources, they're corrupted. I can't hear them. I need different heart and mind. My heart will be connected to all the hearts, and my mind will work only how to connect together. And only if our thoughts and our feelings will be for the good of together, of our common, they will bring us to the correct actions and bring us to the good life. Otherwise, no. We are with you in the last generation, and you'll see just how much we'll see before our eyes, in our eyes, with our eyes, how it's realized. And there is no one to explain this to, whomever doesn't want to hear. But we must, nonetheless, out of our connection, out of our love for everyone, because as it's commanded, we must love thy neighbor as thyself, we must explain to all of reality, to the whole world, that nonetheless, this is the time for connection, specifically. And thus, we must here to begin to work, not from our own will to receive, rather from our will to bestow. Meaning, ultimately, we will need to pass on to everyone force of bestowal, and everyone will receive this force of bestowal and begin to realize it among themselves. Otherwise, we will reach a state where the entire world is going to get destroyed.
This absurd that humanity doesn't learn from history, it's so clear. So why doesn't it at least research why it doesn't learn?
We have nowhere to learn from. It learns from what is before it, what is before us. In our sensation, in our awareness in this world, what can we do? Everyone agrees, yes, everyone agrees that there is nothing better than to love one another, than to connect one with another, than to be good. But how? How is it possible? How is it possible that our egoistic nature, which is stronger than all our thoughts, our nice thoughts. You don't have a person in the world who will say he doesn't want connection. Please. Just how? There's no opportunity to do this in the forces we have here in this world, in our reality. And thus we are lost, if not for the upper force which will take care of us and tie us together and fill us with his force of bestowal.
But even this conclusion, Rav, we don't get to that the problem is the egoistic desire and that we have to go through some change in our nature. No one deals with the main thing.
And there'll be a few more blows and a few more blows. we still haven't reached the true layers in the general will to receive, in the general vessel of Adam HaRishon, which will be able to tie it all together and understand the matters. Humanity is arranged this way, and we see this also on ourselves, just how much we advance in small portions gradually, slowly. But nonetheless, we advance. What can we do? We don't determine that. We need to make an effort from our own part to advance as much as we, Bnei Baruch, advance to corrections. Accordingly, we give the entire world also a push to advance to corrections after us. And that's how we'll advance.
Rav, how to nullify that thing that nullifies the Creator?
You mean our ego? That our ego nullifies the Creator, right? That's on one hand. On the other hand, it's called an assistance against oneself. That he doesn't nullify, annul the Creator. Rather, in this, that it plays with us. It points to the Creator and shows us this is actually the only force which can take you out of the troubles, to save you from me. That the will to receive, it's the upper force. It is obedient to the Creator, loyal. It inserts us into all sorts of horrible states in order that ultimately we'll hate it, the will to receive, and request of the Creator to annul our will to receive, meaning it's ready to erase itself, the will to receive. It's truly a loyal servant. It's an angel, the will to receive. That's how it's called. An angel. And look what work it does.
Yes, we are closer and closer to the Congress at the moment, and that is really felt. And we are activating all sorts of preparations. And we would really like your guidance and give a main focus on what we should concentrate on. So can you please give us a direction on how to prepare correctly for the Congress?
What's the theme, the name of the Congress?
No.
The name of the Congress is coming to Ibur.
Ibur. Zeo.
Ibur. Conception. Okay, so we need to talk about that, and we need to make actions. We are studying this topic of conception for maybe 2 months, maybe more, and we have to see how are we moving towards this, how this state becomes more familiar to us, closer to us, more customary for us. Like we talk about family, about something we feel. What is then the ibul? What state do I need to be in? Who envelops me? Who's in connection with me? What kinds of thoughts and desires do I have? What is this whole set of conditions that we call conception? That's what we need to clarify together. So let's process that. Let's prepare such questions and clarify them through the lessons and move towards the Congress this way. The Congress should be as a summary of all our studies about. Example, and I hope, and I'm happy that you're asking about this, and we will move forward towards the Congress, where we delve deeper into the topic of conception, you can find and send me material that is more and more relevant and deep and inspiring. And we need to start feeling. The main thing is, what does it mean to be in Ibu? What kind of feeling we should have? What kind of relationship we should have between us? How do we build this environment called a womb? How do we make room for the Creator to shine on us and develop us with His light? That's what we need to do. Like a person who goes into a new apartment. So he builds it, he designs it, he plans what it needs to be. Similarly, that's how we need to think about Ibu. Okay?
That's very clear. It's nice to, let's say, that to hear you that it's about feeling and developing this feeling and really preparing ourselves. How do we get to this feeling, what you're talking about, the feeling of coming into Ibur? So, yeah.
Look, if we are a will to receive, then whatever is felt in the will to receive is called a feeling. And so that's what we're talking about. So let's clarify. What is the embryo? What does it feel? Towards whom? And so on. We talked about it many times, but let's clarify it in such a way that it will be clear to us.